Blog Talk Radio.
On the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby our lives. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more do you from men? Can't you stand?
All right, welcome once again on this Tuesday night, which is not a normal night for me to do a show, do a broadcast, but I plan on bringing you something tonight that was going to be great for the ears. First of all, this is the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture, and I'm Melvin Siri Jr. As you all know, I want to start by thanking my listeners in Israel, Ireland, Russia, Philippines. I see you picking up the numbers. Russia, I want y'all give it up over there. I don't know who I'm talking to over there, but I see y'all still listening. Give it up over there. I mean, Man, oh man. Anyway, Ireland, South Africa, Brazil, India, U.S. Also, my Boston Mass family at activatemedia.org. And unfortunately, I just got worried. I mean, as my theme song was playing, as it was rolling through, I just got word from the cousin that And I'm not going to drop names until they're able to come on and discuss what happened. But unfortunately, she just had sent me a text right before, like I say, while the theme song was playing, and will not be able to make it on to tonight's show. Unfortunately, I was so looking forward to getting the ins and outs, and tonight's show was going to, I was actually going to pick up where I left off on last night's show, because last night, you know, I gave you updates, and really I know an update on the Elijah McClain case that a lot of people knew about, but I just kind of went in depth and kind of gave my opinions on that whole thing, and, you know, talked about my uncle who actually lost his life to the Denver Police Department back in 95. But then talked about the O'Shea Terry murder and how they let that cop off, and then went into the Tatiana Jefferson update. And then I went into the Jonathan Pryce update, which I explained to all of you is my dad. His nephew, and I had talked about that story, you know, when it first happened, in, you know, small little East Texas town with Wolf City, but last night gave an update on that because the verdict came in for his murderer, and I'll be doggone, I'm reading the articles and they end up with an all-white jury. And like I said last night, there is no damn way in 2022 that there should be an all-white jury like there was back in 1950. I mean, this whole trial, and I'm really interested in trying to, and I'm going to have an opportunity to speak with the cousin. I did message her back, and we're going to stay in contact because she does definitely want to express herself. And then, like I say, these are the things that we really need to discuss and also help one another heal from. You know, like I say, this young man lost his life, and this killer cop, Sean Lucas, you know, gets off scot-free. You know, that old white fear and that fear for your life that they had, for their life that they have. And like I said last night, you know, you give me one, you know, my favorite sidearm on my hip, a taser, a baton, and like I say, probably an AR and a shotgun in the vehicle with, you know, bulletproof vest and all that. I'm not too scared of anything, you know. And then, like I said, I don't even really need a weapon. I'm not scary like that. And that's what we have, and that's what we're dealing with. And all these scary-ass cops, and most cops were the ones in school that got bullied, got, you know, and I'm going to get even. We had a couple of them back in my hometown, matter of fact. You know, and then they said this Sean Lucas was very harassing to the black community in Wolf City. And like I expressed last night, you know, Wolf City is a town that's less than 1,000 people in population. So everybody would know everybody. And everybody knew and loved Jonathan. And I so was looking forward to talking to his cousin and his sister. And I'll get to make contact with them and find out what's going on, because I'm sure it is probably something to do with the possible civil litigation that's going on. So once I speak with both of them, we will know. When they'll be able to come on, and then what we'll actually be able to address. Because my main concerns, I just may need to take a drive down to Wolf City, you know, and speak with some people that were actually there at the trial, because that is really what I'm interested in, and what I would like to read some of the transcript. And I know this was not, you know, one of those big nationwide cases where you can pull up clips on YouTube somewhere. It may be, and I'll hunt for it and see. But the transcript for the trial should be public, information. So anyone should be able to get that, because I just am interested in the testimony, the questions, because the story, for those who didn't tune in last night or have never heard the story, well, Jonathan Price walked in a store and helped break up a fight. And when this suck ass cop gets there, well, he sees, and mind you, Jonathan was a physical trainer. He was a well put together young man, stocky in build, muscular in build. So to the average scary person, yeah, that's intimidating. Like most of these punk cops, just your black skin is scary to them. Don't be big with on top of that, you know. Decides to try to detain Jonathan. And Jonathan has nothing to do with this. And they, you know, say that a few words were exchanged. And he said that told the policeman, "You can't detain me," which is true. He hadn't committed a crime. He was a bystander. But being the biggest one in the store, well, that's what the scariness, that's what that cowardness does. And this is going to lead into what I'm going to talk about, because I had a backup subject just in case. And they had they had words back and forth. So policeman pulls his taser and fires it at Jonathan. I'm just getting another message in too from the sister, and I hate that they're not going to be able to make it. But she's just assuring me that we'll speak and that she will definitely come on the show. But I will definitely iron out the details after this show. But back to the story. Well, they have words. He tries to tase Jonathan. Jonathan resists. He pulls his gun. He shoots them. And long story short, Jonathan passed away. And like I say, you know, this is my stepdad's, my dad, his sister's son. So I did go to the vigil that they had for him. But what is really the ironic part to me is just how they had a whole all-white jury for a cop, a white cop at that, for killing an unarmed, innocent black man. So that kind of leads into, like I say, I did have a backup subject just in case something like this came up. And unfortunately, yeah, they both couldn't get on. So, yeah, we will definitely iron that out. But this particular trial and just the whole of it and how everything happened with it, and I know it was, I can only imagine how biased it was as far as the questioning and the as far as favoritism, you know, because these cops, as I was explaining last night, and this qualified immunity, you know, is what helped get the officer who shot O'Shea Terry off. That's another story that I talked about last night. And Beautran, you know, the officer that hopped up on the side of the vehicle and put his own self in danger. And not only that, like I explained, I lived right around the corner from that incident. And when he shot that young man, he went across three lanes of traffic. And thank goodness at that time that, you know, there just happened to be no traffic, because Bowen is a very busy street. Very. It's one of the busiest streets in Arlington, matter of fact. But, you know, this qualified immunity is what helped get this officer off the killer of O'Shea Terry. And qualified immunity, and that I fear for my life. And here's another thing, because he tried to use the excuse that he was reaching for his taser, that Jonathan was reaching for his taser. Okay, in order to be a cop and in order to be to be authorized to carry a taser, you have to get tased. So even if he had gotten his taser, it ain't like he hadn't been tased before, because I have heard it several times from different officers and people who know officers, that in order to carry one, you have to get tased by one, which I guess is kind of a good thing. So if it does get taken from you, you at least know what to expect. And a taser is not lethal. So even if he had gotten his taser, which I really don't even think he was reaching for, from the story that was told in the beginning, even if he had gotten the taser, he still would have known what to expect. And like I said, a taser is not lethal. But the fear that they have, this fear, and I was going to say this subject, honestly, but I got a little bit of time, so I'm going to go on and bring it out. This fear, let's talk about this white man's fear, which is honestly, I'm going to call it what it really is. It is the white man's reckoning. Oh, before I get started, I've been talking 20 minutes. Those of you who may be listening online and would like to call in and listen, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, 914-205-5538. The white man's reckoning, because that's really what it is. And there are certain things that I can somewhat understand why they would have this fear, because their day of reckoning is definitely approaching. And just pay attention to the calamity that is happening right now within the white race, you know, because here's the thing. They have always been separatists. They have been separatists even within their own race as well. But they always try to highlight black on black, this and that and that and this. Well, everybody has about the same percentage of everything. Black on black, white on white crime, Asian on Asian, all of that is about equal. And that happens because we live in the same neighborhoods. We intermingle with one another. We're around one another in each other more than we're around any other. So, yeah, those problems are going to exist in every ethnicity, not just within the blacks or the Hispanics, as they always try to label. And I'm telling you, I said this last night to you Hispanics who out here, you know, clowning us, but trying to be like us and stealing the culture. You listen to the music, you say nigga more than we do. You want to pop and dance and lock and talk our slang and all that, but then you want to claim white. You know, you want to roll with the so-called power structure. And let's just be real. There's nothing powerful about white supremacists, racists. There's nothing powerful about the white man except his weapons. And let's just be real. Anybody can get weapons. I have weapons, several. But that doesn't equate to my power. See, and this is where the white man did it wrong, and why the white man's day of reckoning is definitely and fastly approaching. Because he has done nothing but dealt death, violence, destruction, rape, sodomy, all of the things evil that can be done was definitely done by that devil first. You know, when they figured out how to build a boat and travel to the different continents, well, they didn't do like we did. When we did it as a race of people, we would leave people with wealth. Sometimes that wealth was knowledge. Sometimes that wealth was the teaching of architecture and building cities and towns, because, oh, if you didn't know, the black man and the black mind created all of that. See, that's something else that the white man, and disclaimer, because I'm not racist nor prejudiced. I just don't like racists. And most of them happen to be white. So I have no problem speaking. I don't have a problem speaking the truth even when one of my own are wrong. And there are several times that I've had to do that. But tonight it's not about us. And really it's not never about us, because like I say always, we need each other. and we are we got, and we have been made the enemy of the people. We are not the enemy of the white society. Has convinced the world that we are that. See, everything that they have given us characteristically is really everything they are characteristically. And that is why he has this fear, because he knows that he done, excuse my friends, he know he done fucked up. Yeah, he know he done messed up. He know he had a good thing but see, he wasn't and never has been willing to do a few things that it takes to stay in power, which is stay humble, which is to atone for those things that you did wrong. And then, first of all, don't even do it. See, but his mindset is never on peace. His mindset is always on control. See, and control does not equate to peace, because control, somebody is not going to be happy. Somebody is not going to have a choice in the matter. See, in the world and life is not about controlling others. It's about controlling yourself. And that's the only thing that the white man has never tried to control, and that is himself. He will allow himself to run wild. He will allow himself to molest children. He will allow himself to mass murder. He will allow himself to rape, pillage, destroy, and then make up laws. See, and that's another thing. See, the white man has always made a way out for himself, while trapping others in this injustice system. See, and those are the things that need correction. See, and it's the white man's fear. And I don't give a damn, honestly, whatever, any type of emotion that white people feel that is of an anxious, pressure type situations. They feel like violence is the answer, you know. So that is why the white man's day of reckoning is fast approaching. And see, we as a collective have really got to really gather ourselves. It is time for us to see this is really perfect time, a perfect time to be reconnecting, rebuilding, putting away petty issues that we have amongst ourselves. And I'm gonna keep saying, the movement is if it's not black first, it's not going to work. We've got to stop labeling ourselves. We have been so used to being labeled by others that we label ourselves and separate ourselves just like everybody else does us. And we don't label ourselves as we should. We label ourselves just like everybody else labels us. In most cases, see, and that is not going to allow us to grow, build, and that allows the white man's day of reckoning to be prolonged. See, and this is something that I want you to understand. There's definitely a shift that is happening, and I know I'm not the only one that's feeling this shift. We as a race of people work on vibrations, energy, and we feel vibrations, energy. Why do you think that bass drum is so, we're so attached to that bass, that vibration, that bass guitar. It speaks to the spirit. Let me turn this off. And it speaks to the spirit. And we have got to get in tune. And this is why I say religion is not for us. That's something that the white man's fears built. See, and that's another reason why his day of reckoning is fast approaching. So right now, I'm going to take a real quick break because my phone keeps going off. And I'm going to check these text messages. I don't know if it's, I told Sister that we would talk after the show. But yeah, I'm going to take a real quick break. And then when I come back, I'm going to continue on this particular topic because I'm really going to go deep. Like I say, I was going to save this, but I did. I'm glad I had put it together already. So I'm going to go on and bring that. And I appreciate all of you who called in to listen. And if you would like to get in on the topic, which is the white man's fear and his reckoning, and when I come back, I'm gonna dig into another, you know, real reason why their day of reckoning is fast approaching, and they don't even understand what's happening because they are really not conscious to anything that's not taught to them. So with that being said, this is the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr., and I will be back on the other side of this break.
Yeah, but the question is, Molly, how did you get there? Did you get there by confrontation, violence?
Oh, is that the question you were asking?
Yeah.
See, that's another thing. When you talk about a revolution, most people think violence. Without realizing that the real content of any kind of revolutionary thrust lies in the principles and the goals that you're striving for, not in the way you reach them. On the other hand, because of the way this society is organized, because of the violence that exists on the surface everywhere, you have to expect that there are going to be such explosions. You have to expect things like that as reactions. If you are a black person and live in the black community all your life and walk out on the street every day seeing white policemen surrounding you, when I was living in Los Angeles, for instance, long before the situation in L.A. ever occurred, I was constantly stopped. No, the police didn't know who I was, but I was a black woman, and I had a natural, and they, I suppose, thought that I might be a, quote, militant. And when you live under a situation like that constantly, and then you ask me, you know, whether I approve of violence. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense at all. Whether I approve of guns. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. Some very, very good friends of mine were killed by bombs that were planted by racists. I remember from the time I was very small, I remember the sounds of bombs exploding across the street, our house shaking. I remember my father having to have guns at his disposal at all times because of the fact that at any moment, we might expect to be attacked. The man who was at that time in complete control of the city government, his name was Bull Connor, would often get on the radio and make statements like, niggers have moved into a white neighborhood, we better expect some bloodshed tonight. And sure enough, there would be bloodshed. After the four young girls who lived, one of them lived next door to me, I was very good friends with the sister of another one. My sister was very good friends with all three of them. My mother taught one of them in her class. My mother, in fact, when the bombing occurred, one of the mothers of one of the young girls called my mother and said, can you take me down to the church to pick up Carol? We heard about the bombing, and I don't have my car. And they went down, and what did they find? They found limbs and heads strewn all over the place. And then after that, in my neighborhood, all of the men organized themselves into an armed patrol. They had to take their guns and patrol our community every night because they did not want that to happen again. I mean, that's why when someone asked me about violence, I just find it incredible. What it means is that the person who's asking that question has absolutely no idea what black people have gone through, what black people have experienced in this country since the time the first black person was kidnapped from the shores of Africa.
All right, welcome back. That was the great Angela Davis, and that particular clip I've listened to several times, and she, as you heard, grew up in Birmingham, and I used to do a run that I would go through Birmingham quite a bit, and I had the opportunity to stop in Birmingham on about maybe three, maybe four occasions, but got to go to the Negro League Museum there, the Civil Rights Museum there, and then there's a historic park right across the street on one corner, and 16th Street Baptist Church is right across the street on the other corner. So, the oldest baseball field in the United States of America is actually in Birmingham. I didn't get to go by and see it. I had kind of a long day, especially after going to the Civil Rights Museum and the Negro League Museum, but a lot of history and a lot of violence all at the same time. And, you know, that is just its own subject with what I'm talking about, you know, and like I was saying, just their violence. You know, people ask us the most simple-minded questions about how we feel about violence. Well, of course we don't like it, and we've always had to suffer it. We've always had to suffer it at the hands of the white man's fear, you know, and before the break, I was going to bring up another subject that is really going to bring their day of reckoning and bring the day of reckoning about even faster. And that's their inability to be righteous. Yeah, their inability to be righteous, their inability to show compassion, empathy, their inability to simply apologize and atone for doing wrong. You know, and then you have these cases, like in the case of Jonathan, where these police don't ever have to suffer consequences. You know, white people, like I was saying earlier, have never had to suffer the consequences. And I was just thinking, too, I remember when I was in these streets, you know, hustling, and even a hustler tries to hustle quiet, you know, and without problem. And then, too, a hustler even respects the fact of probable consequence, because if 9 times out of 10 you stay in them streets and in that game long enough, one or two things will happen. You will be shot. You will get killed, or you will end up in jail. So even a hustler knows to respect the fact of probable consequence. But see, white America has never suffered the consequence. It has only been the deliverer of consequence. And see, there comes a time when, you know, in a righteous mind and in a divine state, when you rise up. And that's why I was speaking on also before the break, the fact that there is a shift happening and you've got to feel it. Some of us are really feeling it. My only issue really is that it is not happening fast enough for me. And see, that's why I'm doing this, what I do. And I really am trying to position myself where I can be able to get out more and actually network more and link up with more people, because the more the merrier. Keep saying that to yourself for the rest of the week. The more the merrier. We really need to think about that, because the more of us that start moving in the same direction, the better and the more happy that we, the more problematic free our lives can be. If we simply just link up using a simple terminology, a simple phrase, the more the merrier. There's power in numbers. And we still don't realize that. Even after we helped put Ain't Shit Joe Biden, every time I refer to him, that's how I refer to him. I'm sorry, but I'm not. And in hiding Harris, and that's just the way I'm going to keep referring to her too, because they ain't done nothing for us. And I don't care what y'all say or what anybody thinks. She don't claim black till it's beneficial or till they need her to be black. So I don't have no love for this administration. And honestly, it don't matter. Republicans, Democrats, you know, we still get nothing. We still get nothing. And we still don't see our power in numbers. We still don't understand what we can do if we come together. And what we can do, if we can do that for Ain't Shit Joe and In Hiding Harris, we damn sure should want to do that for ourselves, because we have allowed our fears and the threat of the white man keep us from coming together. And that's been, I mean, those days should be long gone. Have not enough of us are truly paying attention to the demise of the white man. His day, like I said in the title, his fears, his day of reckoning, because that's what it is. See, you can run and hide from man, from flesh, but you can't run and hide from the Most High. And I said this years ago, start paying attention to the weather, nature, and how things are behaving, how this earth is reacting to all the damage. See, because the white man don't know how to do nothing but take, pull away from, separate, over abuse. See, he never tries to put back and replenish, because he's taken so much from this planet that the planet is starting to react. We have more and more hurricanes. A hurricane made it way up to Canada. That's a long way. I've been here 52 years. I never heard of a hurricane making it all the way up to the eastern coast of Canada. And then we're having all these tornadoes even during the winter months. Pay attention to the signs. We're having more and more eclipses and more solar events. Pay attention to the signs, because see, the Most High talks in parables. The Most High doesn't give you flat out here, this, that, boom. No, he's going to see if you're paying attention. He's going to see if you are awake to his word, if you are awake to his spirit, if you are connected. See, and I've said this several times, it's time for us to put down everything that this system has given us everything and disconnect from it. And that means them black entertainers, that means them all them Hollywood people. And they always try to keep us right now. What is it? The coach that's cheated on whoever. I don't really even pay attention, but I caught wind of it on the radio morning show the other morning. I mean, just the most nonsensical things we consume ourselves with, or we allow ourselves to be consumed with. You know, and that's why I really don't really watch a whole lot of TV. I mean, not saying I don't watch TV. I like watching older shows. And then if I'm going to watch anything, it's going to probably be something that I can stream. I try to stay off of the live TV. I will watch a little news. I'm skeptical about most of these news media outlets as well, you know. Because this white system that's been put together has been built on lies, nothing but lies. And like I said, with religion, the made up Jesus, you know, all the lies that they put together to make themselves appear to be superior. And that's why I say I do not like white supremacy racism at all, period. And anybody that subscribes to it, all these Trumpers, because, yeah, they the biggest ones right now. And like I was saying earlier, I touched on, they are not internally trouble-free. They fight and argue. Don't forget, they fought the bloodiest war on American soil in history for control. This is the greed of the white man. That's why his day of reckoning is fast approaching. And like I say, there are signs all around us. The bells and whistles are really going off right now. We've really got to start paying attention as a collective, because yeah, they've got a price to pay, and that's why I say we need to disconnect ourselves from them. Stop subscribing to the things that they have given us, because they haven't been beneficial to us anyway. Let's be real. And get back to our own culture. Recreate our culture, because that's what it's going to be, a recreation. Because see, people who are in my age range still remember the village. See, we gotta instill that in the grandchildren and the children so that they can recreate that, and definitely have some peace, because we shouldn't have to wait for death, experience a peace of mind, just to experience tranquility at its highest level, where we can, well, we won't experience it. It will not, well, I've said a lot of things won't happen in my lifetime, but quite a few things have. So I'm never going to doubt the power of it can't happen in my lifetime, because it definitely could. But logically speaking, because it would take a true act of the Most High Yah to change what's wrong down here. And it is not going to happen overnight, because the thing is with these people with whom we're dealing, they understand and know what the problem is. They ignore it. They're trying to whitewash it away. And see, it's not enough of them who are righteous or divine in mentality to challenge the status quo. See, because white people know what they're capable of, so no, they're not going to be the one to speak out. They know. Don't forget how they used to burn buses and bury and hang a few white people too for being a nigger lover. And not really, that's really not even what it was. It was for doing what's right. People who choose to do what's right are always persecuted. Always. You are never going to be considered, a part of society. You'll never be included. They've never been inclusive of us. And that's another thing that's bringing about their day of reckoning. See, and I'll just say it how it needs to be said. I don't try to be all eloquent with it. I try to keep it simple and plain so the people can understand. And not only that, so that they can feel the realness and understand that we deserve better than what we're receiving right now. Plain and simple. We deserve so much better. And then, you know, a white man's fear is not going to allow him to give people that he know will surpass him on level ground. But you see, he will give opportunities to all others. He'll give the land to others. He'll give money to others to help jumpstart them. But they have never atoned for what they did to the ancestors. You know, they have always, just like they have always been able to lynch us and get away with it. And to this very day, they still are allowed to lynch us and get away with it. Because, they, like, perfect example, and I've said this, I've used this example more than once, the Casual Killing Act of Virginia, 1600s, 1660s, 1664, I believe, but don't quote me on that, but it's in the 1660s, I believe 1664, but Casual Killing Act. And like I stated earlier, the white man will make laws where the crime he committed is legal now. That's why man's laws ain't about nothing. Man's laws will work for man and whatever man is needed to work for, and is never intended to work for us. Don't forget about the 80s when you could get caught with a gram of rock cocaine and a gram of powder cocaine, but you got more time for that crack. Because who was dealing the crack more? Black people. Who was addicted to crack more? Black people. So it was criminalized. But now, see, that's why I say the white man's laws, and that's why his day of reckoning is coming, because now he's compassionate of the opioid crisis. Now it's not criminalized, because now the demographic has changed. It's not majority us getting hooked on these pills, this opioid and heroin that is running rampant now. It's a lot more of them, and the numbers went up during the pandemic. There was a lot of white life lost during the pandemic due to the opioid crisis. And now it's a pandemic. Now it's, let's build rehab centers. Back in the 80s, it was, let's build prisons. And not just for those who were dealing it, even for those who were using it. Those who were sick, just like these people now, or see how the Most High will flip the script. Same thing they done to us, he's doing to them. Pay attention. It's right in your face. It is right in your face, and that's why I say when we start doing what we need to do, the Most High will step in and do what he's going to do, because he's going to do it with or without us, because he don't need our help. He wants our help, and we need his help. And that's how we shut down this white system. Numbers, we can help bring about that day of reckoning. And I have no remorse for what's coming to those who subscribe to white power, to this white system, for those who still are not willing to share the wealth, for those who are not willing to atone for the wrongdoings. So with that being said, I'm going to take another break. And once again, I was expecting a couple of family members on to talk about the Jonathan Pryce case. And they were not able to make it, unfortunately. But, you know, you always have a standby, and the show must go on. But we're definitely going to link up and put that together. And bring that to you, because I just think that would be powerful. And also, like I say, you know, these are the things that we need to be doing, helping heal one another, you know, and not only that, helping expose the problem. Can't be part of it and fix it. You cannot be part of the problem and expect it to get fixed, period. So I'm going to take another quick break, and I'm going to come back and probably do another 20 minutes or so. Got another little old section that I'm going to dip into on this subject since I'm on it. And then, yeah, I'm going to close it out. But, yeah, I'm going to take another real quick break. I appreciate everyone who's listening. If you are listening online and would like to join in the conversation, feel free to call in. You can call in and just listen as well. Call in number is 914-205-5538. Again, 914-205-5538. And I'm going to take a quick break. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary, and I'll be right back on the other side.
I'm the deputy chairman of the state of Illinois Black Panther Party, Fred Hampton. And a lot of people don't understand the Black Panther Party's relationship with white mother country radicals. A lot of people don't even understand that word that Ariel uses a lot. But what we're saying is that there are white people in the mother country that are for the same type of thing that we are for, stimulating revolution in the mother country. And we said that we'll work with anybody and form coalition with anybody that has revolution on their mind. We're not a racist organization because we understand that racism is an excuse used for capitalism. And we know that racism is just it's a byproduct of capitalism. Everything would be all right if everything was put back in the hands of the people. And we're going to have to put it back in the hands of the people. Everybody in the state of Illinois is going to have to be involved or even around the revolution, because we're going to have one. We're going to have to do more than talk. We're going to have to do more than listen. We're going to even have to do more than learn. We're going to have to start practicing, and that's very hard. We got to start learning, and you learn through practice. We got to start making mistakes, and you learn through making mistakes. We got to start getting out there with the people. And a lot of times we think we're better than the people, but that's an insult, and that's criminal. Think you're better than the people.
We got to get together and learn where it's at. It's going to take a lot of hard work. That's better for children than something else. You ought to dig on it. Every sister in this audience ought to get yourselves together and come on down and help us with that breakfast children program. Y'all here, come down and help feed them children in the morning. We have breakfast for children because we teach the people through practice, through observation and participation, that people can be fed free. That's people's thing. Socialism is the people. You're afraid of yourself. If you're afraid of socialism, you're afraid of yourself. We know they have our pictures. We know they're looking for us. We know they want us. But we're still saying that even though we couldn't be in a sense, as far as this system goes, on the mountaintop, we in the Black Panther Party, because of our dedication and understanding what's in the valley, knowing that the people in the valley, knowing that we originally came from the valley, knowing that our flag is the same flag as the people in the valley, knowing that our enemy is on the mountaintop, our friends are in the valley, we say even though it's nice to be on the mountaintop, we're going back to the valley. I've been off with everything. I'd be in the streets propagandizing every day. I'd be working with everybody every day. I'd be preaching that solidarity is the thing. The end of a complete wipeout of imperialism is the thing. So if you're going to be thinking about me, that's what Bobby would be teaching. If you're going to be thinking about us, all we say is we don't, ain't no thing about going nowhere, getting killed. All we want to know is that you're doing what we'd be doing if we were here. And you've got to do that. You can't do it unless you believe that you can do it. In the spirit of liberation, we understand that they want everybody in the party in jail. And we know that if we try to figure out and separate and divide who should go and who shouldn't go, we spend more time doing that, than working for the people. So the quick solution, the speedy one, nobody go. We all stay right here.
With the people.
Because we love the people. Okay, you can put your hand down now. We say all power to all people. We say white power to white people.
White power to
brown people.
Brown power to
brown people.
Yellow power to yellow people.
Black power to black people.
Black power
to X-power to those that we left out.
X-power
to those
we left out.
We say Panther power to the Vanguard Party. When you leave here, saying the last word, before you go to bed tonight, I am a revolutionary. Make that the last word. In case you don't wake up, then somebody might believe it and you might, you know, end up in what they call a revolutionary happy hunting ground. Say that. I am a revolutionary. Say it when you're going out. Okay, we're going to say it while we're going out.
Hey, we're going to start a thing called Free Fred. Don't that sound nice? Hey, let's do that. Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Free Fred.
Hey, I ain't even in jail yet.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network, The Big Picture, Melvin Steery, Jr. Like I say, I had a glitch in the show that I wanted to bring tonight, but still had a topic that I wanted to touch on, and talking about the white man's fears, or more like the white man's day of reckoning. And I brought up the point earlier about just paying attention to the signs and just the calamity that is going on within the white community. You know, you got Republicans against Democrats, which I don't get that fight at all, because they both are, you know, just a different wing, but on the same bird. You know, they both oppress black people. They both, represent, work for, and maintain white rule. You know, then they still are not fair and just. You know, if they were, a lot of things that were happening within our communities wouldn't be happening. But just look at how they are warring against each other. Donald Trump is the ringleader, and he got his faction fighting against the Democratic faction. And that's just the way it was, you know, back a few hundred years ago, you know, a few decades back when they fought the Civil War, you know, fighting for power, fighting for control. And, you know, I like to try to clarify things. White men did not fight to free slaves. We a lot of us get that twisted by thinking that the North was down here fighting the South so that we could be free. No, the North was fighting the South because they wanted some of that money too. They were not thriving like the South was thriving because the South had access to free labor. And not saying that the people, some people in the up North done the same thing. But it wasn't as dominant up North as it is, as it was in the, you know, Southern states. We all know history. But that's why I say, too, his day of reckoning is coming. The devil don't love nobody. He don't even love himself. And that's why I always say that. A lot of it go over a lot of people's head, but he don't even love himself. He fight himself for control and already is in control. That's the crazy part. Already making the laws to govern the land and making the laws that are lopsided and in his favor. And in anyone's favor who looks like them. And that's why they're suffering the way they are suffering. And that's why I was pointing out the weather, because these weather phenomenons, just seeing how they've been happening in the slave states. A lot of these tornadoes and a lot of the floods, like right now in Mississippi, and you got a lot of us right now in Mississippi that are suffering as well. And that's why I say we need to get in a centralized zone where we can be safe and free from their punishment, because we've been going through hell long enough. We damn sure do not need to suffer anyone else's curses. Because we have definitely paid the price for the curses of our ancestors. But I was just, I mean, and these are facts. I mean, I brought this up a few years back, a few months ago, about how white men are, this white fear is attributed to their fear of loss of power. And the more people who look like us who come here, that fear, and I'm going to give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Right now in the trucking industry, that's the industry that I so love and that I work in. But right now, there are things being put in place and rules that are being changed. And I was asking myself, like, well, first thing I said was things are going to make it harder for black people, women, Hispanics, and anybody else, you know, considered a minority in this country. And they're changing a lot of the rules and switching a lot of things up right now in the industry that will, unless we beat the curve, will affect us long term. And I said, there's a reason for this. And wouldn't you know that I'm reading an article one day, and within the trucking industry, right now, this was, well, not right now, this was probably towards the end of last year when I read, no, matter of fact, it was the beginning of the year when I read this, that within the trucking industry, that it is 41% minority saturated. Now, mind you, that doesn't just include black people. That also includes Hispanics and women as well, and all other ethnicities. But that 41% is too damn close to 50%. So, like I say, they have started changing the rules. Whenever someone is getting too close to them, when someone's catching up with them, they'll, or when someone has figured out the same loophole that they use, they'll change the law to make it more difficult to access. You know what I mean? So those are the things, like I say, that are bringing their day of reckoning even closer. And then they don't want the truth to be told about them. You know, like right now, the big thing is the CRT. You know, everybody's been talking about that. That's been a hot topic. And I always have said, the first time I heard the term, it's not a critical race theory. It's a critical race fact. It's a fact that they had the most brutal form of slavery in the world, you know. So it's no critical race theory. And they're trying to whitewash that. They're trying to soften the blow as if slavery wasn't a bad thing. They're trying to make it seem as if black people were happy to be slaves. They tried to change the label from slave to refugee to try to soften the blow, to make it seem like they were not so bad. And that's what that's all about, to make them look like a not so bad people. Well, history speaks for itself. Everybody knows who and what the white man is. And if they don't by now, they're, you know, I don't know what to say. But, you know, right there was a stat that came out a few years ago that said, you know, white people by the year 2050 would become the minority. And well, that's kind of changed. I was doing some digging. And they're saying now, around 2040 to 2045, that white people will be more than less than 50. So that's going to put them in the probably high 40 percentile, but they're going to be the minority population. And I'm going to ask y'all something, you know, because there are a lot of things, well, I'm not going to ask anything, but there are a lot of things that are happening, like I say, within the white race that are detrimental. There are more white people dying than are being born right now. And this is happening like in 26 states across America, like Oregon, Nevada, Arizona, California, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, Texas, North Carolina, South Carolina, and there were a few states up in the north, Michigan, West Virginia, Maine, you know, but I was looking at that map, and Do you notice that most of those states are in the South? Texas didn't make the list. I couldn't believe that, as racist as Texas is. But anyway, yeah. But in those particular states, yeah, they're dying faster than they're being born. I also pulled up a stat from 1999 to 2016. Their birth rate, births fell by 10.8%, and that stands at just over 2 million people. You know, so that is another frenzy, situation that has them in a frenzy. And when they get in a frenzy, I don't care what emotion it is, they get violent. And that is another reason why Republicans stepped up and did what they did concerning the abortion law. And I, you know, stated my opinion on the abortion law. I really don't have an opinion. I think a woman should be able to do with her body what she wants to do with her body. And I think, too, especially in cases of incest and rape, that there should be a choice of whether you want to carry a incest or a baby conceived from rape full term. That should be a woman's choice, you know. But, like I say, that was done because contrary to popular belief, more white women abort babies than black women. White women abort more babies than anybody. They always put black people first. But truth be told, that stat, that is being held down by the white woman. And that is why the Republicans, you know, stepped in and did what they did, that Republican Supreme Court, to try to salvage white numbers. Yeah. That's what that's all about. And then we get our sisters get involved in that mess, and that ain't got nothing to do with us. Not a damn thing, because ain't nothing wrong with our producing at all. And we, like I say, we don't lead in abortion. That's just another one of them little white lies. That's another thing that's bringing the white man's day of reckoning fast. So, I am pretty much going to wrap it up. Like I was saying, I apologize for the show glitch tonight, but I'm definitely going to, well, sister said she would reach out to me tomorrow, so we'll definitely be speaking and trying to get that set up as well. Some people can be, I don't know, I'm going to say this in closing. You know, the black family once upon a time was the strongest bond here. The black man, the black woman, respecting one another, loving one another, and appreciating one another's space. And, you know, we've got to get back. I said this early in the show. We have definitely, truly got to get back to loving ourselves, loving us, rebuilding us, reconnecting with us. And we have got to pass this energy down We have first got to build this energy up. Everything that we do, our children will do. And in most cases, they'll do it better. We have got to give them something that they can see, something that they can work with. It is up to us to pass down, not for them to hand up. We have got to be the ancestors like the ancestors before us. And we are coming into, well, at least the generation that I'm in. No, well, everybody that's still breathing today, tomorrow will be one day older. So we're all approaching elderhood every day we say good morning. And in saying good morning, grand rising, we should work to try to do something better than we did it yesterday. And we, as the black man and the black woman, have got to learn to work in unison. We have got to show our children that it can be done, contrary to popular belief. We have got to be the ones to light the fire in their minds. We have got to be the ones to allow them to have hopes and dreams. I keep saying this. If we don't allow or don't, if we don't allow them to have hopes and dreams, they're not going to have them. It is up to us to do what we need to do so that they can do what they need to do. And what they're going to accomplish in their lives will be more than we can fathom. But we have got to reconnect with them so that we can redirect them. Because right now they are not on a conscious path. Right now they are on a destructive path. We've got to regain control of ourselves. We've got to love one another. Give to ourselves what we give to every ethnicity, and we would be in such a better place. With that being said, I'm going to close out tonight. I want to thank all my listeners from overseas, my listeners up in Boston, Mass., my listeners here throughout the states, my listeners who listened online, who called in and listened. I do appreciate it. Once again, I apologize for the show glitch, but we're definitely going to make that one happen. Like I always say in closing, let's plan, let's organize, let's unify, because we all have a key. I love y'all, and I will see y'all on the next broadcast. On tomorrow, on the rest of this week, hey, love somebody that looks like you. Love somebody and appreciate somebody, and go and amend a friendship that you ain't had in a while. You know, mend them broken fences. We need each other out here. I'm out. Peace, power, and love.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our sea. Fish full of mercury. Oh, mercy, mercy, me. Oh, things ain't what they used to do. No, no.
creation, underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby all the night. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?